Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, if you're like most of us, your learning environment today, whether you're prepping for a big meeting or just diving into something new, it's all powered by technology.
It really is. Digital access is the engine now.
It is. But as we lean more and more on all this free public information online, we keep running into that hidden cost, don't we? That constant, sometimes really aggressive intrusion of ads.
Mm-hmm.
And the source material you shared with us zeroes right in on this, but in a very specific place, the classroom, K-12, higher ed.
The captive environment.
Exactly. So this deep dive is all about giving you a clear map of the ethics and the very real technical challenges schools are facing when students are getting hit with ads just trying to do their homework.
That's the mission. We're going to cut through the noise. We'll identify where this ad exposure is coming from, what the big objections are from parents and teachers, and then what IT teams are actually being asked to do about it.
Yeah.
All based on the ground your research has laid out.
Okay, so let's unpack that. I think we have to start with what the sources say is a foundational truth. This exposure is pretty much unavoidable.
It is, because think about it. The way we access information has completely changed. Teachers can't just hand out a 20-year-old textbook anymore. They need current, dynamic stuff.
Right, stuff that's happening now.
Precisely. And the reality is, many of the best online sources, the ones that aren't behind a massive paywall, are supported by advertising. It's just the model.
So if a teacher wants a student to research, say, a recent political event or find some specialized data,
they have to send them to sites that are, by design, rich with ads. There's almost no way around it.
And the material really catalogs the kind of places students are being sent. I mean, we're not talking about some obscure corners of the web here.
No, not at all. We're talking about mainstream media outlets, major journalism sites.
The very places you'd want them to go for critical analysis.
Exactly. And also the websites of professional organizations, edited periodicals, you know, the sources you need for deeper academic work, for finding expert opinions.
It's a real conflict, isn't it? You need the high quality information, but the delivery truck is covered in commercials.
That's a great way to put it.
But the sources, they pull out one category that's especially thorny, and that's social media.
Ah, yes,
yeah.
With YouTube being the poster child.
Right. And this is a whole different level, isn't it? It's not just a banner ad on a news site.
Not even close. If we connect this to the bigger picture, YouTube is a different beast entirely. It's not just the ads that play before or during the video.
It's the algorithm.
It's the algorithmic nature of the platform. That's what really blows up the distraction problem. A teacher sends a student to watch one specific educational video.
And instantly, the sidebar is filled with a dozen other more compelling things.
It's designed to maximize engagement. It actively works to pull them away from the lesson. So a static ad for a car might be a momentary distraction, sure.
But an algorithm serving up videos about celebrity gossip or video games right next to a lesson on the solar system.
That's designed to sabotage focus. It turns a simple act of information gathering into this potential rabbit hole of distraction.
So the implication is huge. When an educator uses these amazing free resources, they're also, in a way, handing their students' attention over to a very powerful commercial machine.
They're paying for the content with attention and commercial exposure.
Okay, so we've got the source of the problem.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean for everyone involved? Because the material makes it clear this isn't just some minor frustration. There are strong central objections driving this whole debate.
That's right. And we should start with the big one, the ethical claim. Commercial exploitation.
That sounds serious.
It is. When parents and ethicists look at this, they don't just see advertising. They see the commercialization of students. And the definition of exploitation, according to these materials, really hangs on two key facts about school.
Which are?
First, students are legally required to be there. Attendance is compulsory.
Okay, a captive audience.
A captive audience. And second, they have very little choice over the materials the teacher uses. They can't just opt out of the lesson.
So you put those two together, compulsory attendance, no choice. And then you point them toward an ad-heavy website. What's the charge?
The charge, as the sources frame it, is that the institution is leveraging that required student attention for commercial benefit. The school is essentially trading its captive audience for access to free content.
Wow. So the student's time and focus, which the state says they have to give, is being monetized by someone else.
That's the argument.
Yeah.
And it completely reframes the issue from just an annoyance to a real moral dilemma. It's not about a pop-up ad. It's about the institution facilitating a commercial transaction, even if the school isn't getting a check.
That's a fascinating tension, because the sources also touch on this, right? For a lot of schools, especially ones with tight budgets.
It is the only way. Relying on free ad-supported content is the only viable alternative to $1,000 software packages or textbooks that are 10 years out of date.
So the ethical need to protect the student clashes right up against the practical need to just provide current materials.
It's a zero-sum game. You can only afford the content if you accept the commercial baggage.
And while that's a really deep ethical problem, the second objection is much more immediate and practical.
Suitability and distraction. This is the teacher's day-to-day headache.
Right. And the sources break this down into two parts, the first being suitability.
Meaning the ads are just plain wrong for a school setting.
Like what?
Well, the ad algorithms, they don't know the difference between a seventh grader doing homework and an adult browsing at home. So you get ads for dating apps or aggressive financial products or, you know, content that's suggestive.
Popping up in the middle of a history lesson.
Exactly. What might be fine outside of school becomes totally inappropriate during mandated instruction time. I can only imagine the classroom management issues.
A nightmare. Okay, so that's suitability. What's the second part of the practical objection?
Distraction. Pure and simple. Even if the ad is totally harmless, say it's for an educational toy, it is still designed to do one thing.
Grab your attention.
And be as engaging as possible. Sources are very clear that commercial message is engineered to pull focus away from the lesson. And it often works.
You've got content designed on Madison Avenue competing with quadratic equations.
It's not a fair fight for the teacher. And these distractions, they directly degrade the learning environment. Or worse, they can lead to some really inappropriate situations if a student clicks on a misleading ad.
So those two things, exploitation and distraction, they're really the engines driving this demand for some kind of solution.
They are.
So if the case against this is so strong, what's the response? Who has to fix this? Let's shift over to the role of the IT professional.
Right. This is where we move from the problem to the attempted solution. The IT department is basically tasked with trying to solve that tension we just talked about.
They have to let the information in, but keep the ads out.
Exactly. Build a firewall against the business model that funds the content they need.
So what do they actually do? What are the technical actions they're asked to take?
Well, the most direct one is deploying ad blocking technology. IT professionals are asked to install and, more importantly, configure software or browser extensions that are designed to stop ads from ever loading.
That seems like the obvious fix. Just block everything. But I'm guessing it's not that simple.
Not at all. And this is a key point for you to understand the technical side. IT teams get caught in a constant update war.
A cat and mouse game.
A total cat and mouse game. A major platform, like that video site we keep mentioning, changes its code to get around the blockers.
And then the ad blockers have to update to catch up.
Right. And if they fail to update, ads creep back in. But if they update too aggressively, they could break the website itself, making a necessary resource totally unusable.
So IT is in this constant battle of maintenance, just trying to keep the walls up while also making sure they don't accidentally brick the whole site.
And that's only half of it. The sources also detail a really important supporting role for IT that's about working directly with teachers.
It's not just about a blanket network ban then?
No, it's more strategic. It's about supporting teachers as they embed media directly into their virtual classrooms.
Oh, so they can bypass the public-facing ad-heavy pages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or helping them set up lessons that use direct links. The goal is to minimize exposure on a lesson-by-lesson basis, to create these little walled gardens of content whenever possible.
That's smart. So instead of a system-wide ban that might cause problems, they're giving teachers the tools to navigate this landscape more responsibly.
It's a proactive, teaching-focused strategy. The institutional job is to protect the learning environment, and the IT professional is the one on the ground walking this incredibly complex ethical and technical tightrope.
This has been really, really insightful. So let's recap. We've seen that the reliance on free ad-funded resources makes student ad exposure basically universal.
Ubiquitous, yeah.
And the main objections are, one, the ethical claim of exploiting a captive audience.
And two, the practical problem of distraction and unsuitable content.
And the response is this constant two-pronged effort by IT, both technical blocking and direct collaboration with teachers.
And to synthesize all that for you listening, this deep dive really shows the problem isn't just about ads being annoying. It's about institutional dynamics. Hmm. The heart of the conflict, as your sources define it, is that clash between a student's status as a mandatory learner and the commercial funding model of the modern internet.
It's that compulsory part that really elevates it.
It's what turns a technical problem into a serious ethical question.
And that leads to a final sort of provocative thought for you to carry forward from all this. We've established that IT is working hard to block the ads to solve that practical problem of distraction. So let's just imagine they succeed completely.
A perfect ad-free experience.
Perfect. The content is consumed, no visual ads, no audio ads. The question is, does blocking the digital distraction entirely resolve that fundamental objection? The one that says the school is still relying on a commercial model, still leveraging the students' required attention just to get the resources in the first place? If the software works perfectly, is the institution still, ethically speaking, participating in the commercialization of compulsory education? That's something to mull over as we all navigate this new era of learning.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams winter sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.